Welcome to the J. Will Podcast. This podcast is for informational purposes and should not be considered a legal, health, or tax advice of any kind. If you would like to donate to the J. Will Podcast, locate the donate feature on the RSS.com homepage or via Cash App at $JWillPodcast. Now, here's your host, J. Will.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, homies and homettes, I have a distinguished guest in the virtual studio with me tonight or today, and his name happens to be Ramel Pitt. How you doing, sir?
Good evening. What's going on?
Oh, not much, man. Glad to have you on. Ramel Pitt. Ramel Pitt is the founder and CEO of Reestablished Incorporated. But before we jump right into that, where are you from?
I'm originally from Evansville, Indiana. I currently reside in Kentucky.
Okay. Kentucky? What part of Kentucky? You down there in Henderson?
Down in Henderson, right across the bridge from Evansville. Yes, sir.
I feel you, man.
Enjoying the quiet life.
I bet. I bet the quiet life is awesome down there. you have a company, Reestablished Inc. Tell me a little bit about your company.
So Reestablished was a name that I believe the Lord gave me for individuals that need to basically reimagine who they are, using their background and their story as a catalyst for their future. A lot of times people try to erase their past opposed to using it as a catalyst for where they're going. So I came up with Reestablished Inc. for the purposes of creating a platform to aid and assist people in moving forward in life using their history for their future.
So, Mr. Pitt, I was reading the information that you sent me, and it says the guided journal that's helping men and women break free from rejection. What do you mean by breaking free of rejection? Can you elaborate on that just a little bit?
So, I think a large majority of humanity has in some shape or form dealt with rejection, whether it was on their job, in their family, in a relationship. There's so many avenues and inroads for that particular thing to creep in. And so that I dealt with it from my earliest childhood, even from the womb. My father rejected me, and so I've been plagued by this thing for many, many years, and it began to alter my thinking. It definitely, at a point in time, altered my identity, and I had to deal head on with it at a certain point in time in life, or it was going to also be ultimately my destruction. Huh. And so since that's my story, and it's a large portion of my story, I wanted to hone in on that because I think a lot of people can relate.
Yeah. I mean, I think people really overlook how it feels to be rejected. I was rejected to a degree. I didn't have many friends growing up. I was kind of the oddball. Of course, I'm a musician, and I was the piano player. And small town, mostly women played piano. You didn't see very many men playing piano. And so my classmates and stuff treated me a little different because I was just strange to them. You know, even though I played football and all this good stuff and played basketball, I was still a little strange to them because I was always in church and I was always on the piano or playing the organ. And so I was kind of rejected in that regards, but it stirred something on the inside of me to make me want to prove them wrong. So everything they thought they was rejecting me for, oh, he's not cool, oh, he ain't hip, I wanted to prove them wrong. And so I fought like Hades to make sure that everything I did was over-accentuated because I wanted to prove and validate myself. And, you know, then I went to another phase in life where I didn't feel like I needed to validate myself to anybody anymore. I just needed to be self-validating. If I felt good about myself, if I felt positive about myself, then forget what everybody else says. So is that kind of what your journey with this? You had to reinvent yourself?
Just tap into the inner me. A lot of times we think that we're creating a new idea of ourselves, when ultimately what I learned is that the real you has always been there. It's just been masked by being competitive, as you were saying, trying to prove yourself, working like a workhorse to, you know what I mean, gain some type of acceptance from your peers, from your family, from your coworkers. You're always, when you're rejected, I learned that you're always chasing acceptance. You're chasing acceptance when you're rejected. But I like what you said a minute ago, in that you decided to stop trying to prove yourself to people and you started doing what you needed to do to better yourself and prove yourself to yourself.
Exactly.
That when you get to that point, I believe, is when you really, really have grappled and grasped the idea that you're an individual, you have something to offer, and it doesn't matter if it fits the mold. It doesn't matter if people accept it. We all have an audience. We all have a sphere of influence. And as you continue, as you can see from your successes in the current time, as you continue to work on you, as you continue to develop the things that you realized were in you that were locked down and shut up and unimagined, when you begin to realize what's in you and begin to hone in on those things, you understand that you really do have something to offer. You do have value. Because a lot of times rejection staunches all of that. And like I said before, it makes you feel undervalued, underappreciated, less than. You're not good enough. I, like you, was a church boy. Raised in the church, I was a director at a very, very early age, directing the choir. And then I started realizing that I had a song in me, and then I learned to sing, and I began to discover my singing talent. And so with that, I don't know why the world or is framed to think that, you know, if you're in church, you're weak, or if you're in church, you know what I'm saying, you're funny, so to speak, for lack of better words.
Yeah.
You know, it's the weaker, it's the more feminine side of life concerning, you know, what stereotypical Black male should be, so forth and so on. And so at a very early age, you know, people always had stuff to say. Kids are mean. Kids can say things that cause you to just go into this introverted self, and before you know it, you don't know who you are. You don't know who to trust. You don't know who's real. You don't know who's fake. And you're just kind of living in this world full of people, but still in complete and total utter isolation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went through that whole ordeal. But, you know, to your point, kids are pretty mean. But it's only because they haven't developed. They have an underdeveloped cerebral cortex, and they don't process stuff the same way as mature adults do.
Absolutely.
But then we have some adults that are so simplistic in their viewpoints and their thinking mm-hmm. that they continue to think like juveniles or adolescents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it should not be said in the church world that stuff like that's going on. But I just want to move forward just a little bit.
Okay.
So what is the goal? What is the ultimate goal of your company? I know you want to help people. I know you want to get people to break free of the, you know, stereotypical thing, you know, reestablishing themselves. What is the ultimate goal?
The ultimate goal is to get people to heal from looking, starting on the inside of themselves and doing an inner work, a quiet work, a work that a lot of times is done in the shadows, is done in the quiet, in the dark, and then reintroduce themselves to the world, reintroduce themselves to themselves, and take society, take their life, their ideas and their goals and their ambitions, take them by storm, and really, like a chain reaction or a domino effect, help someone else do the same. Right now, this society is so broken. You have so many broken people, so many rejected people. Not to beat a dead horse, but the society is so broken that it's like a mass overhaul needs to take place. And I know I'm just one person with one little simple idea of reaching one person at a time. But if this thing gets loosed and people really begin to transform and change, our society will slowly but surely, the world will slowly but surely see life, see themselves, see people in a new light from a new vantage point. And it's my goal to, not to be super spiritual, but it was said of the apostles in Acts that these are the ones who turn the world upside down. And if they can do it in that culture back then, why not try to take that same attitude and mindset and bring what you have, what I have, what they have to the table of value and create the same ultimate end, turn the world upside down for the good.
Yeah. So I don't want you to think, you know, or perceive that what you're doing should be taken lightly. I mean, one person changed Tesla.
Yes.
One person, you know, I mean, we have all these single individuals that have made magnanimous impacts on the world. Mm-hmm. And so what you're doing is very commendable. And I just want to applaud you for founding this company and wanting to work with people on these issues. I mean, we have, and you're right, the world is changed. The world is changing. And, you know, I do a lot of research. I do a lot of history, and I watch a lot of news. I mean, you can't really be in the podcast business if you don't even pay attention to the news.
Yeah, if you're not informed. Yeah.
You got to be informed. And yes, what I see is the biggest propaganda scandal that I've seen in a long time. Now, I'm not going to go which side is more propagandous, because that's that's debatable depending on what you know, how you're looking at it. But what we do need is an overhaul, as to your point, to get us back on track. Because you mentioned the disciples, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I taught a Bible study last night, and it's on the Church of Acts.
And interesting.
What I started out with was actually defining the church and defining what the church's goal was. And it was very interesting. I just want to read this, and you may agree, you may disagree. But the word church is an English translation of the Greek word ecclesia. And so, but I went and I talked about, there's a couple of things that supposed to happen. There's the EK in ecclesia, which means out of, and the kleo, which means to call. But we're all supposed to be knitted together. We're all supposed to be unified. And what we're having now is not a unification of the church, let alone any other organization out there, whether you be for this person, that person, or you know, a biker club or basketball, you know, team. The world itself is not really unified. And so if we're supposed to be one mind, one body, one spirit as as a church or an assembly of God's people, then we have to have unification. But we can only be unified if we take the advice from your journal. We have to be, you know, redeemed, renewed. But we also have to be reestablished in ourselves. And so it's good that you brought that point out.
So the church, if I may. So I was born and raised in church, like I stated earlier. And this is one thing that really stood out to me. And this is a piece that you'll find also in the up and coming facilitator's manual, also good for personal use. However, in the church, what I found was people were loving vertically, but the challenge to love horizontally seemed to muddy their vertical love even.
Man, that's deep.
And so we prayed over things. We've tucked things under rugs. We've danced over things. We've praised and, you know, for some, spoken tongues over things. But then the underlying issue never got dealt with. Huh. How can we unify if we don't have love one toward another? So you're loving God and you're in loving God, in love with God, but you struggle with me.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Come on, you struggle. And I'm telling you, for me, a lot of my rejection came from family. And I mean, family and leadership, you know what I mean? From the maternal side to the paternal side. The people that were supposed to love me were the people that rejected me in a lot of instances. I was different, like you said earlier, about yourself and, you know, the fact that you play the keys and, you know, boys are supposed to be out there playing football. They're not supposed to be playing the keys.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so it's different things like that. And ultimately what I think has happened is there's been so much mixture and so much adapting and adopting of secular views that have crept over into the church that's supposed to be standalone, different, unique, separated, you know, integral, this and that. And because of so much mixture, it's clouded true view, true vision of what God intended from the very beginning. That's one thing he told his disciples. This is how you're going to know. This is how the world will know. The people will know that you are my disciples is love. Yeah. One simple four-letter word, love. And that is the biggest challenge today in the church world.
Yeah, you're all up in my Bible study from last night. because I, you know, I talked about 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, and it says, come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And so you're exactly right. We have become integrated and adopted things in the church that keeps us from displaying love. But I want to jump back because I've had this theory for a long time, is that a car sitting still is a car. Once it starts moving, it's an automobile.
Come on.
A train sitting there is just a train. Once it starts moving, it's now a locomotive. And so
that's good.
It has to be, both of those things are nouns until they start moving. Then they become verbs.
Yes, that's good.
They become adverbs. You know, and so it's hard for a person to be loving and they're not the noun first. We're trying to be the verb before we are the noun. If that makes sense.
Okay. So
in order for me to be, I have to be love. And then once I start giving away, I become loving.
That's right.
Which is a descriptive adverb of who I am. So before Jesus was Jesus, he was already who he was before he was. Once he came down, he just displayed was already in him. Yes,
that's right.
And so this is why we have a hard time in church, in society, because we don't know who we are. And having a journal like this to help one on their way, I think it's great stuff. So I want to ask you a question. What made you interested in writing?
Man, so that's a good question. So what I realized after so much rejection, so much hurt, so much pain, and locking myself on the inside, building walls, and just shutting the noise out, not being able to express myself, didn't know how to put anything into words. I would see expressions of excitement and grandeur or even someone sad and crying. And I was so blank and so out of touch because I had been so stepped on and so put to the side and so non-relevant, that's how I felt, that I lost my voice.
Yeah.
I was not good enough. And so I spent some time in the prison setting. And again, I was surrounded by 50 plus men. And I just didn't know where I fit in anywhere, from society to the prison setting, from the church to my family. I didn't know where I fit in. And so I decided to really start digging my heels into finding out how I got to this place of just complete shutdown and being out of touch. And so I started journaling. And it was as simple as just recording the events of the day. But what I realized is as I wrote and begin to tap in and connect with what was happening, I started peeling back layers of years of rejection. And as I peeled back those layers, I began to discover that there were things in there that I didn't realize existed. And when I say in there, I mean down on the inside of me. And writing was one of those things. So the more I wrote, the better it got, the more connections begin to be made as to how I got to that place, where it started, where I was currently at the time, and what's my way out. It all came through journaling. Journaling reintroduced me to my voice.
Man, would you say that all the catastrophic and emotionalistical things that happened to you when you were developing as a young man assisted you with building up walls and barriers to enclose yourself in so that you wouldn't continue to get hurt? Because I know I did that.
Yes.
I did that all the time. And I just didn't care about things. Whatever. You know, if you like me, you like me. You don't like me, you don't like me. Because I was spending too much time, you know, trying to get people to like me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found out real quick is that people really didn't like me. They just liked what I had to give them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They liked my...
They gift. Liked your stuff, yeah.
Yeah, they wanted me to come sit on their organ. Mm-hmm. And they wanted me to play for their family members' funerals and their weddings and their revivals and not speak to me any other time. Mm-hmm. It was a manipulative relationship that I developed a significant callus to so that I could stop being hurt. And it made me a horrible person.
Your response to all of that became, like you said, hard and callous. And so then when you were dealing with people, it began to show.
Well, it began to show to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I never let anybody in. But the dangerous part about it was, is that I had gotten to such a point to where I could do something that I knew I wasn't supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But since I was so calloused, it didn't bother me. I became, and I don't even know if you can put these words together. I became a church-going, organ-playing sociopath.
Wow, okay.
Because I was so callous, I didn't care what the consequences of my actions were. I was careful.
Mm-hmm.
I knew right from wrong, but it just didn't care. I was just going to do it anyway. So I was, you know, sociopath, man. I was sociopathical. I was pathological. and was good at it. You know what I'm saying?
I totally get it. There's so many traits, ill traits that are picked up when you begin to wall yourself in. Because there's a world that's created for us.
Yeah.
But then we create a world within a world, and there's like no holds barred in that world. And it's like you get to the point where whatever makes you happy, you let in who you want to let in, you push out who you want to push out. I'm telling you, man, it was so bad for me that I vied and contended for love so hard until what ended up happening because of the rejection from such an early age in life, I ended up developing, you said, what did you say, sociopath, whatever you said.
Yeah.
I just developed a perfect hatred. That's how I described it.
Yeah.
These people, we're supposed to be, you're not just supposed to love me, but you're supposed to lead me. These were people that were supposed to love me and love me enough to lead me. And so I had to make a way for myself. I listened to what I wanted to listen to. I discarded what I wanted to discard because I didn't trust you no more.
Right, right.
And all I had to trust was these walls that I created because they were my safe place.
So, ladies and gentlemen, elevate your coffee routine with Strong Coffee's black instant blend coffees and lattes. Go to strongcoffee.com, strongcoffeecompany.com, and if you use the promo code JWillPodcast, you get 20% discount on all your products. All right, so I want to highlight something that I found very interesting in your journal. Talk about a few of the descriptions. One of them is identifying the root of shame and rejection. You know, I have a medical background, and we do, you know, root cause and analysis.
Okay.
You got to find out what the problem is. You know, if I can say it like I'm from the hood, what the problem is. We got to say it. Until you find out what the problem is, you can't fix it. So, this just kind of ties into my Bible study last night, because I mentioned that we have, just like physicians do a diagnostic exam and lab work before they, you know, prescribe you medicine to take to treat something. Mm-hmm. In order to figure out what's wrong and how to fix it, you got to find out the root. Is this what your thinking was to this?
Exactly. And so that's exactly what journaling provided for me.
Wow.
It made me connect the dots. And I'm telling you, this was not an overnight situation. I had to keep writing with tears in my eyes. I was writing with the light bulbs going off. I was writing when I was too ashamed to look at myself in the mirror, because what I was seeing was different than what, you know, my creator was seeing. And so I was too ashamed to look at myself in the mirror, but I kept writing. I created this discipline of writing until all the dots began to connect, and I was able to go all the way back. I'm telling you, almost from the womb, where that rejection began to follow me and torment me and steal my joy and steal my peace as a young man growing up. I remember smiling a lot and was known for my smile even. But what people didn't realize, I was smiling over pain and scars and wounds and trouble and sleepless nights and, you know, wondering, you know, who's talking about me. I always would be in crowds of people. And I even got so bad until I began to work up panic attacks.
Wow.
In crowds of people, because I always thought the focus and the zoom was on me because I wasn't good enough.
So you developed a paranoid mindset. Paranoid. You found a root cause.
I did.
And you began to work through that process.
Yes.
So you got to identify the root of shame and rejection. And then you can start working on it.
That's right.
So
once I unearthed the root, I begin to rebuild identity, my true identity, and then trust. Trust in God, trust to myself, and trust in others.
How do you develop trust? So how do you develop trust in others? How did you begin to start that process?
So a lot of times what I realize is we always think, you know, there's a phrase that we say, oh, you did this to me, or you did this, and we're pointing and blaming and this and that. But what I'm learning is it's not always or as technical as someone doing something to you. What they're really doing is doing what is convenient for them, and it just happens to impact you in certain ways. And so giving grace to others' weaknesses, others' shortcomings, others' faults, it makes it easier to it makes it easier to agree. Because if I can appreciate who you are, where you are, and that you're a work in progress, then I'm not always contending and fighting against you. Because guess what? I'm on the same path you're on. Huh. So I'm not moved anymore by what would be that you did to me, because I'm able to identify that it's not you really intentionally trying to hurt me per se. It's you trying to fix you, and every once in a while you're spazzing out and I just have to take the brunt of it.
That man, so you're going to be teaching some seminars, I'm sure, because this is valuable.
That's the goal.
This is valuable information. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it here, probably not first, but we're probably in the top 20. and so you can always listen at this podcast to receive more information. But let's keep moving here. Another highlighted pinpoint in your description was release the beliefs that keep you stuck.
Mm-hmm.
How did you go about that process?
So there were a lot of things spoken over me, said to me, and that I started to believe.
Oh man.
And I mean, in school, from family, from teachers, friends. And what happens is you develop a personal belief system about yourself based on what other broken people as yourself say about you.
Man.
And so it's a belief system, but it's not the truth. And so once I begin to deal with the lie, because that system that I created was ultimately a system of lies. And once I started to identify, locate, and uproot lies by speaking positive affirmations on myself, over myself, whether it came directly out of the Bible, or whether it was, a quote that I might have seen, something that I read in a book. Whatever the case may be, I begin to speak positive affirmations over myself, dismantling all the lies that flooded my hearing, and as a result, flooded my mind. And so once I began to dismantle those lies, then that's when I was able to lay hold of the truth about Ramel. Not what you thought, not what you said, but the God's honest truth about Ramel.
Man. But don't forget to go to strongcoffee.com, order your premium coffee, and use the promo code JWellPodcast, get a 20% discount. So my question to you, sir, was going to be, or my statement was going to be, that sometimes we operate from a learned pattern of behavior, whether it's good or bad. And, but I've known, I've witnessed it myself, that a lot of the hurts and stuff that I've experienced in my lifetime have been from other people executing a learned pattern of bad behavior towards other people.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I find to be catastrophically horrific about that whole deal is that they think they're right. And they're wrong. They're wrong. I mean, they think they're right and they're wrong, because love is not supposed to hurt, and the truth is not supposed to kill. The truth is supposed to make us free.
That's right. That's good.
It's not supposed to kill. Bill habits of journaling, prayer, and meditation. And then we have strengthen your inner calm.
Mm-hmm.
Go into that a little bit just for me right there.
Strengthen your inner calm?
Yeah.
So by building the habit of journaling, it required me to, mind you, I started all of this in the prison setting in an open dorm format full of 50 plus men. And so I had to be very intentional about finding a way to get away in the midst of the chaos.
Man.
So what I would do, I would have earplugs in my journal, a sheet, a pillow, and a chair. I would find me a corner somewhere or on the side of a wall, tucked away. And I would get on my knees with my Bible, with that pad of paper or notebook. And I would thrust that sheet over my head, and it became a pavilion or a tent or a hiding place in the midst of all that chaos. And by practicing that, I began to learn how to go way deep on the inside to find solace,
man,
in the midst of the noise. And that sheet thrown over me was highly metaphoric for safety and quietness and zoning in to the work that I had begun on myself, the work that God had begun on me, because I had to participate. Of course, I take no credit for it, but I had to agree with God and participate in reimagining me.
Wow.
But it took me to go all the way back to the earliest part of my life to get to moving forward. If I never went back and I tried to erase and I tried to escape and I tried to tuck it under the rug, I wouldn't be the man that I am today and the man that I am becoming. So I found that inner calm by stealing away in the midst of chaos. And it also taught me, amazingly, and this just came to me, but I realized what was going on. It taught me how to hear God in the midst of chaos. That discipline taught me how to hear God in the midst of chaos. Some people need you to be quiet and need everything to be shut down and all the noise gone so they can hear. That's not how I operate. That's not how God deals with me. It doesn't matter what's going on. I can tap in because I learned that discipline as I was being remade and rebuilt and reestablished.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to get this journal. The Guided Journal and Workbook, Breaking Free from the Inside Out, Reestablished. If they wanted to find this literature, where can they find it at?
They can go to www.re-established.com. Again, it's www.re-established.com.
And so if somebody wanted you to come speak to them or speak to a group of people, you have an email address you can shoot out there so people will know where to find you?
Absolutely. They can go to support@reestablished.com.
support@reestablished.com. Well, sir, I thank you for taking the opportunity to speak to the old fellow over here. ladies and gentlemen, if you need to contact me, hit me up at leewildtheletterj@gmail.com. If you're an inspiring artist and you want your music to be potentially put on my radio station, J-Will Gospel Radio, live365.com. Or you can go to your internet browser and just look me up, J Will Gospel Radio, shoot me an email with a Mastered MP3 photo and a short bio to LeeWill, the letter J at gmail.com. LeeWill, the letter J at gmail.com. If you love strong coffee, coffee that will invigorate you, this is one of my sponsors. And so we got sponsors now, y'all. That's what's up. Go to strongcoffeecompany.com and use the promo code JWOPodcast. And don't forget, may the Lord God bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord God give you peace.